This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, episode 457, right? Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because last week was the easy-to-remember sequence, so this one's the one that confuses me. I'm XV. Brian Kilby has decided to flee the country because of the rapidly changing political climate.
No, tell him the truth. We sent an assassin named Lockdown to take care of Brian Kilby so we can control RFC.
I mean,
for
at
the
this,
second week in a row.
Yeah, at this point, Brian might as well just, you know, step down and let us run the show because, like, it's better.
Well, you know, we'll know next week if Lockdown actually got to Brian because either he'll be on the show or he won't be on the show.
Yeah.
And if he's not on the show, then Lockdown actually took care of it.
So he's Schrodinger's Brian. He's either on the show or not on the show.
But we won't know until we actually observe next week's show.
What are you doing?
At which point we'll have set the quantum state ourselves by observing the phenomenon. And never mind. I'm XV. That's Don, Diecast, Matt, Rob Quay, and John DeLuna off video. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Hey.
Hello from off video.
that's right outside Detroit, isn't it? You know, off video.
No, Don. So first up tonight, it's time for Transformers Hall of Fame nominations once again because it's almost BotCon time, and that's just the way this goes. Hasbro wants your top picks, and we're helping. This year, the fan choice categories are favorite Transformers character, favorite Transformers related real world music act. You know, like a Stan Bush or Vince DiCola, but they've already been nominated. They've already been voted in, so don't vote for them. And the new category, favorite underrated Transformers character. Now, how we're defining underrated character, I have no idea. They didn't go into those details, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about some of those picks.
So, Radio Free Cybertron is participating, and you can send us your votes for these categories to contact@tfradio.net. We're not doing polls or anything fancy because Brian decided to do this basically on the spur of the moment and couldn't be bothered to come up with anything better. You have until 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday, March 7th. That gives us time to count all the email results and get that together. And then we will send the top three results from each category back to Hasbro, and they'll put together their polls, which will run probably on Hasbro Pulse, because Diecast, didn't they say at Toy Fair that's where they're going to be running fan polls going forward?
They did say they were going to be doing fan polls there, but I don't know if it's going to be everyone.
Okay.
They kind of like to experiment a little bit, so it could end up showing up on Facebook or something else.
Okay. And also right now on T-Formers, you can go vote for your favorites among the polling choices we have there. Just look for the pinned article on the top of the front page. You can't miss it.
Now when they say favorite Transformers character, do they mean favorite actual robot character?
Robot, yes.
Or was it a character from the Transformers mythos?
No, it specifically stipulates robot character.
Okay.
Sorry, Don.
Okay.
Maybe next time we can have favorite fictional Transformers human.
Yeah.
Or other organic life form.
Actually, I was going to vote Jack, Miko, and Rap as a group for the underrated character.
I don't think you can vote for all three of them at once, Don.
Well, I can't. I'm special.
No, Don.
What are you doing down there?
Here we go.
Stop.
So also in our top of the show announcements, Jolanta is next weekend, not this coming weekend, but next weekend, March 12th and 13th. And Rob Springer, Dusty Griffin, and Brian Kilby will be presenting the Transformers panel at 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 12th. So if you're in the area, go check that out because it's going to be pretty cool. And finally, in our opening announcements, we have the winner of our iTunes contest, or rather our podcast review contest, because it was open to all forms of podcast aggregators that accept reviews. So our winner is Iron J146. I'm going to read the review because I kind of like this one. This is a long overdue review because this podcast has been going strong long before I knew what a podcast was. Well, we've been going strong since before anybody knew what a podcast was, so there you go. I've been listening weekly for several years now, and it hasn't stopped being informative and entertaining. Certainly worth all 5 stars if you're a fan of all things Transformers. So, IronJ146, congratulations on winning the Onslaught, and Kilby will get with you somehow or another. We didn't really work out the details of that for me to be able to say one way or the other before the show. That probably would have been a good idea, wouldn't it? But yeah, we'll get in touch and get you set up with your Onslaught. So, congratulations and enjoy, because that's a great figure.
Yeah, and hopefully you are able to find the limbs to form Bruticus, because that is apparently a wave that some stores are skipping.
Well, all hope's not lost on that, but we'll talk about that later, Don.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go into new stuff this week. Diecast?
I got some new stuff, and I'm excited about it too, although everyone says they're sorry. I got a Trailbreaker from Combiner Wars and Hound, and I really like the look of Hound. It's not, how do I say it?
Good?
It's not Hound. It's not Hound.
It's Houndish.
It's Houndish. Maybe it's just I really like the face sculpt on him.
You know what they could do?
Oh my god, that's what I didn't like about him.
No, so you know what they could do? Some third party needs to make a replacement head for that that's more in the style of Movie Hound. And you could call it Combiner Wars Bulkhead then.
That would work.
Yeah.
Or they could do a Jeeper Creeper head. And you could have a Combiner Wars Jeeper Creeper figure.
Or get an extra swindle, put that head on it, and then get wait for Reaper Labels to make a conversion set to turn it into Robots in Disguise Rollbar.
Now,
or get a Halo figure head and have it be a Transformers Crossovers Halo figure.
And then because Matt made me jealous last week, I went and got the Power Rangers Blade Sword, whatever
Blade
they call it.
Blade Blaster.
How'd you
Blade
buy
sword,
it and you don't
Blade
even know
Blaster.
What the name of it is?
Because it's not like they kept mentioning it on the show, but...
Yes, they did!
It's really nice, and I did want to buy it before Matt got it, but I was in a bad mood the one day I went to Toys R Us, and I just ended up walking out with nothing, and then after seeing Matt with it, I was like, oh, I got to go back and get one of those.
All I know is I made Diecast spend money, and that gives me a great sense of accomplishment for the week. So
Yeah. Just like the time I made Kilby buy a car.
Yeah. Well, not quite that awesome. It's a start.
Yeah,
I actually did. I apologize to everyone for being, you know, not the best last week because I was in the middle of negotiations for a house, which I was able to lock in.
Congratulations, Diecast. But I was going to say, were you even here last week?
Yeah. I think so. I think I ran the recording. So,
Diecast is doing.
I apologize, and, you know.
We'll do better this
now
week.
Now I have a house.
Yeah. Diecast has done what we've always wanted to do is buy a bigger house for our collection.
And as Kirkman said in the chat, Kirkman81 said, there goes his money. And yeah, absolutely.
Well, the good thing is I've got my best friend got married and bought a house in the same span of 6 months. So he hasn't gone anywhere, done anything fun for a while.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
I will still go to Toy Fair next year, though, at least for the Hasbro event. So there won't be any lapse in that coverage.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Don, I understand you have a very important thing that you got that you want to share with us.
Yes. Well, actually, it wound up being two things. First, it's Transformer related. I got this from the Collectors Club during their big sale.
Okay.
Dreadshot and Catgut. Haven't transformed it yet, but again, Warpath mold, always nice having Warpath mold.
Yeah, that's a good mold. Yeah. How much did you pick that up for?
$19 in shipping, so it's about $26 with shipping.
That's great.
Yeah, so that was a lot cheaper than what he was going for originally. Yep. Now, my non-Transformers thing, continuing from Matt from last week, everyone knows that I'm a big Next Generation fan. I'm not the biggest, but I'm a big Next Generation fan. But there are several episodes that I hold to a pinnacle for Next Generation, and one of them is called Darmok. and probably my favorite episode, or at least in the top two. So for $4, I got the Playmates Darthan figure.
Dathan.
On card. Dathan figure on card from the episode Darmok in the Playmates Star Trek line. Because I never had this when I had all my Playmates Star Trek figures. So it's a shame Paul Winfield is gone, or I would make it a point to have him sign this, because Darmok is just one of my favorite episodes, and this was for $4, I buy them all day long for this.
So what you need to go on eBay, find something that he did autograph, cut the autograph off of it, and glue it onto that package.
But as we said earlier, what else did Playmates actually make? And I was like, there's an example. I was like, that's the first thing non-Ninja Turtles that I've seen.
Yeah,
that
no, when I was saying in the pre-show that Playmates doing a toy line can be either really good or really bad, the example I was thinking of at the time was the Star Trek line, because that was really good.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Especially for the time period it was made, because in the early 90s, you didn't get figures with articulation like that, basically at all.
Yeah. Not at that size, especially.
Right.
But if I glue his signature, that would make him cry. Then his face would be wet with tears.
Oh, Don.
Sorry.
He donned it again.
Yeah.
Don,
plus, I got...
Don.
Yes.
Tamok. Yes. The River Tamok. In winter.
Plus, I also got Masterpiece Hot Rod. I've not opened him yet. Just like Road Rage and Trax, I'm a little behind.
My suggestion would be to skip Trax and Road Rage and just open Hot Rod.
I can't. I'm
open Trax and Road Rage, just don't try to transform them.
Well, it's,
but at that point, why even bother opening them, though?
Yeah. See, my thing
they
is,
look really nice.
I'm a Michael McConaughey fan. His Trax and Cosmos are two of my favorite characters in G1. And I
that
got
would probably to, change after you transform that masterpiece. Just
yeah.
throwing that
well,
out there.
You know, and again, I'm gonna say it right here. If Michael McConaughey is at another BotCon, I've gave him a Generations Trax, a Generations Cosmos. I got him the Legends Cosmos and the upgraded Generations Cosmos. So if he's at the next BotCon, I'm gonna have to get him a masterpiece Trax because I just
holy crap, Don.
I just love Trax and I love his voices. You know, so. And I'm
why would you do something so mean as giving him a masterpiece Trax, though, Don? That's
yeah,
not very
like,
nice.
I can see getting, well, yeah, that's a very good point. But I can see giving somebody a Legends figure as a gift, but man, that takes dedication to go out and buy a masterpiece.
I mean, even that Takara Legends RC he gave Sue Blue last year, not as much as a masterpiece.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, again, Trax is kind of trending on the low side right now. So if he shows up sometime in the next year or two, it shouldn't be that expensive to get one. It's just I just love Trax and Cosmos, and I want to make sure they give – and there's not that many Cosmos figures.
I wonder how many cat attacks Don has to endure before the universe gives him a masterpiece Cosmos.
Well, you know – you could almost say UFO from iGear could almost be one if it
no.
just did, if it wasn't that bad.
Hold up the sign, Chris. No,
no, I like Don's I like Don's qualification here. That could almost be a masterpiece if it wasn't so bad.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's one of the punishments that he actually has to endure before getting the actual.
But another Kronos.
Yeah, but see, I got that mold as the Pathfinder equivalent from the GoBots. Representation they did for TFCon. So
Roswell,
yeah. I'm thinking on the name. So, yeah, that's good.
I would say he's probably on the short list of third-party masterpieces since, although, and when you do get it, three of them will do
there's
it
still
at the
a
same
lot of
time.
Cars to go.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
but
you know,
what do you
again,
really
they...
have different in that masterpiece scale, like, you know, first or second season that we haven't gotten yet?
Trailbreaker.
Yeah. Well, we've already got Inferno and Grapple, so I'm sure there'll be a hauler before too long, or Artfire.
Yeah.
But then again, what series did you get? Hellfire from Make Toys, or Backdraft from Ocular Max? And
if
which
I was
going to
get one, I'd probably get Backdraft.
Yeah. So you know, it's just I can't wait to see which one of them does a Hellfire. I mean, does a Artfire version, but then again, waiting to see what the other one looks like.
And that's the thing, too, because like when somebody does decide to make an unofficial Masterpiece Cosmos, there will then automatically be three others within 6 months. So
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So far, we've only seen one masterpiece style jazz. So we've got to see at least seven more of those before somebody moves on.
And that's not even out. That's still not even out yet, as far as I know.
I don't even remember if that has a physical prototype yet.
Now, no, I wasn't real crazy with what I saw about it. It's just something's off.
Well,
but
I am kind of regretting not getting Sphinx. So I'm kind of looking forward to the Not Mirage.
Well, they'll probably do another run of that because, like, the parachute it came with was supposed to be, like, the first run accessory.
Well, they
so that
are.
That implies a second.
Yeah, well, no, the second one's going to be a lighter color. I guess it's going to be more
animation color.
Yeah.
That should be okay, right?
Yeah. Besides, I've seen the parachute on eBay as low as $13 free, so.
Well, maybe just go ahead and pick
$13
one of those.
$13 free.
Shipping. Well, with free shipping.
I understood what Don meant. Don, maybe you should just go ahead and pick one of those.
I understood what he meant. I just had to, you know, throw that in there.
I speak English good.
Right. Anyway, so does anybody else have any new stuff this week? No? Good. So let's move on to This Week in History. So Kilby didn't leave us with anything for This Week in History, but I found a good one that I thought Don would appreciate. So on March 3rd, 1991, the Master Force episode Rescue Squeeze Play premieres in Malaysia.
Which is the wrong name, technically. But...
No, that's the correct name for the episode. As it aired in Malaysia. Dubbed.
Yeah, as it aired in Malaysia, yeah. But... But yeah, anything Master Force is always welcomed.
No, I just thought that one was especially funny because, like, yeah, Rescue Squeeze Play. Plus Don and his dub hatred, which makes no sense, but, you know. What can you do?
I don't know, I'm kind of amused by the Japanese title of Save Cancer, so.
Well yeah.
I'll be honest, though, considering how many famous people we've already lost this year to cancer...
Save cancer.
Yeah, let's drown it in a whale of our tears.
Spoilers, cancer dies. All right, let's move on to the news. So as usual, you can find all of this week's news items at tfradio.net/457, whether we mention it or not. So, Matt, you're probably really excited for this news item. Michael Bay is returning to Michigan to film Transformers 5 this summer.
Detroit,
as if,
right?
As if Michigan Ray. Doesn't have enough problems right now, as it is. Uh-huh. And I'm sure Paladin will be glad to extrapolate on that if need be.
What are you doing? There is nothing down there.
This is the best show we've had in weeks, I gotta say.
Hey, I think Michael Bay's going to Michigan is great because that means he's not coming to Pennsylvania, hopefully.
Ah, well, you know what is great about his visit there is that Paramount had to agree to give the city $21 million of its money back in order to still get some of their film incentives.
Huh.
And they could probably use some of that money right now.
Yeah, that little issue in Flint could probably use some money thrown at it.
Oh no, I think that'll just be more for their like their press agency to make them not look so bad over that issue, but that's not really here or there for the show. No, but
eventually those raccoons are going to burn out and they got my new raccoons set on fire.
Well, there you go. Replace those trash cans. No, but there was like two articles about this and both were talking about how like Detroit's not giving film incentives, like the tax incentives for filmmakers to come there anymore, but Paramount had a pre-existing deal that the city still had to honor. But basically what it came down to was Paramount agreed, okay, we'll give you half this money back, or, you know, we will do without half this money. You can keep that as long as we can still get the remainder of the credits.
Yeah. Well,
I found that interesting. I'm not exactly sure why. I kind of like the mechanics of how the stuff works on the back end. Yeah. And this is kind of an interesting, unusual situation.
Besides,
the only interesting thing I could pull out of, well, Michael Bay is going back to one of his usual filming locations for this movie.
But you know, probably Paramount will get that money back on ticket sales and whatever merchandise agreements are. So they probably figured, okay, we'll get a little more goodwill if we do this without being antagonistic, and we'll make it up on the back end. So there was probably some of that too.
Also, for all the faults I feel he has as a storyteller, Michael Bay seems to be pretty loyal to the people he's worked with before. Yeah. So, you know, there are probably people he likes working with in Detroit that he wanted to make sure had work. And I got to respect that, I have to be honest.
I agree. That's a very good point. Also, I mean, I'm sure there's comfort as a filmmaker to go back to the locations you've used. You know exactly what to expect out of that. But, you know, crew considerations aside, you know the area, you know what your assets are there. It makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything I've ever read about the making of a movie, especially a big movie, is that it's pretty much a prolonged panic attack. So the more variables you can cut out of that, the better off you are.
Man, I thought short panic attacks were bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so if making a normal movie is a prolonged panic attack, what's Revenge of the Fallen?
Yeah.
That
like
that
a psychotic
is a
break?
Uh-huh. That's a seizure from watching that one episode of Pokemon on loop.
Perfect. So anyway, Transformers Battle Tactics is going away.
Oh, another Transformers game bites the dust.
Yeah, and that one's pretty decent all in all.
That's the one with the cards and everything, right?
No.
No, that was Legends Battle Tactics. It's the one with the little SD sprites. It's the one we learned about Viper from.
Yeah.
Hmm. John DeLuna, you there?
Paging John DeLuna?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's hello.
yo, when's the last time you played Battle Tactics?
Ooh, several months ago. I'm being kind, I think. I've got credits, or whatever they call them.
You might want to go ahead and use those
soon.
Up.
Yeah. I feel like if I wanted to play those credits, I would have sooner. So,
well, the game is going away on May 12th, so you might want to just go ahead and burn through those between now and then.
Yeah, that's like wasting good money. I mean, people actually pay money for those credits. So,
John, did you pay money for those credits?
I did not. I think as of like 6 months ago or so, they were already in the mode of like, credits, come back. Play, please.
You know, free money.
Yeah, see, I quit playing this game when I reached a point when you pretty much had to pay to advance.
And so that's my stopping point for most like mobile device games. Because I don't want to pay them money.
And it's sad because it was a fun little game if you had, you know, 10, 15 minutes to kill.
Or yeah. $10, $15 to blow.
Yeah. That's my problem with virtual stuff in general. Versus like collecting toys, like that's basically a collection game, and there's really neat, obscure stuff in it, but it's all like virtual. So
right,
like when the app goes away, basically that goes away.
Yeah, you're
on May 12th when the app goes away. Yeah.
It would almost be better if they could come up with a game that would work and you could go buy, like, the collector cards in store. So you could get the virtual card and the collector card, so at least you have the cards if the game ever goes away.
Yeah,
or
something like that.
Mm-hmm. something like that they would need to use, like, an amiibo figurine to work with the game.
Well, okay, so, like, a lot of stuff now... is printing QR codes on the collectible item. Like, that's a thing for toy lines with tie-in apps. You could do something like that very easily. The Robots in Disguise toys have a variation on that. You know, so, like, yeah, you could have little, like, Titan, something like Tiny Titans, something blind-bagged and cheap that you can grab a little handful of, get a bunch of codes to scan in, and get whatever you get out of them. And when the game goes away, you still have the little things, at least, to have some show for what you put into it.
That would be great for my you know, pipe dream of blind bag Titan Masters. You could get little codes to put different heads on the larger robots and give them different powers.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. Rob, go make that happen.
Hasbro's hiring, Rob.
Oh. Yeah. And... Hey, and then you know what you could do? that you could implement that Hasbro 3D printing
What do you want, a 3D printed QR code done?
No, 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 no. What you do is you get the QR code, you go online, you design your figure with using the QR code to unlock the parts, and then send that to Hasbro, and then you can buy a figurine of your created character, like the old robot points, and you send in the robot points and get something. But you can use the QR codes to get like a little 3D printed figurine made or something of the character you designed.
I mean, if 3D printing went the way where it would get like especially cheap to produce something, I could totally see that being a possible, yeah, incentive kind of thing like that. Like right now, Hasbro is technically partnered with Shapeways for, I think they called the Super Fan Art Program, where people could submit the designs and get them officially sanctioned for sale on Shapeways. Yeah. But of course,
so far the prices to come out of that have been pretty terrifying.
Well, yeah, that's the whole problem. 3D printing is still too new of a technology to be approachable on the level like Don's talking.
Yeah. It's just, I'm thinking like the old G.I. Joe Steel Brigade figure where they changed the bio for your personal preferences, but sent you the same figure. You know, if there was some kind of base body and they could make different changes to the limbs or the head or something from what was selected. And
Hero
then,
Mashers?
I can work kind of too.
Or like the thing Diecast did that one year where they real scanned his face and sent him an Iron Man with his face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind
of
cool.
No, I mean, like, there's definitely applications for this kind of idea, but most of the technology is not to the point yet where it's practical. But I mean, hopefully that's something that could really be investigated in the future, because there's a lot of possibilities they could explore with that. But in the nearer future, let's talk about something else awesome. New Masterpiece Optimus Primal pictures.
Oh, it looks so good.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it does.
That beast mode looks really nice, actually, in some color. And also,
what's up with the girl who's very happy?
Oh, so that's the voice actress for Q Transformers RC, who hosts these videos, and they have her trying to transform an original Beast Wars Dinobot.
Ah.
So that was going on in the corner through the whole video. So
that's interesting.
What does RC have to do with?
The Q Transformers no RC character hosts these video segments.
I know, but I'm just saying
that's the only relation there is.
Yeah, there's no like relation to the show, but it's just that Q Transformers is big in Japan, and RC is basically the mascot. So that at the moment, for this at least. So
I did order my first Q Transformer. I ordered the Jetfire that they had.
Oh, nice.
So. That'll be my first experience with Q Transformers whenever that comes in.
Yeah,
they're cute, little things, but last I checked, they were like $10 a piece, and that's just more than I can do for a
Rob bought a ton of them when he was at Springer when he was at TFCon in Charlotte, because they had them like 3 for $25 or maybe even cheaper. It might have been like 3 for $20. So he bought a ton of those things. He loved them.
Yeah, I might pick up RC, of course, if I'm at BotCon and it's cheap enough. But you know.
And I'm looking just to kind of get sort of back on topic. I'm looking at Optimus Primal.
Sorry,
is there some kind of felt or flocking on the?
Yeah, it's some kind of it's some kind of fabric tape or some it's some strips of fabric attached to the figure that seems to be giving it the fur pattern.
I don't know about it, though, because just the chest is bare. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be.
I mean, you have to understand, this is probably just for the prototype.
Yeah.
And if you've got, like, strips of fabric or something with adhesive stuck on there, you can't really have that around the moving parts quite so much, because that's going to tear first thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
The final product may not look exactly like this based on that. Like, I assume they're going to do some kind of paint work to get the fur texture mapping.
We should have on an actual product may vary.
Well, they probably do somewhere, but, like, I can puzzle out katakana. That's about the extent of my reading.
Well, I see the word sample, so yeah, there's some kind of disclaimer at the bottom of that.
What I was more impressed by, though, is like the beast mode face works so much better with the teeth and the eyes painted in. Like, it reads so much closer to the show model that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the painted weapons also look really nice.
Yeah.
They do.
I'm excited, but also, like, starting to get a little worried, because, like, everything I see of this makes me more and more excited for it, and I'm just waiting, like, something is going to go wrong with this. Something's going to ruin this for me.
We have to have a masterpiece in near future that we're all looking forward to.
Shockwave?
He's okay, but well, I have Quakewave.
Dawn doesn't care about Shockwave. I don't care about Primal.
I guess we're still waiting, Ratchet, then.
Maybe? Ratchet, maybe?
I don't care about Ratchet.
Ratchet, I think it's going to be a real surprise. Well, we have Ironhide in hand, and he's great. So I think Ratchet's going to be even better just because it doesn't suffer from the diaper as much or the... what else did I like a little bit better on Ratchet? I don't know. But, yeah, he looks better.
Ratchet's colors seem more cohesive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that's a problem with the with Ironhide when you actually have it in person, though.
It's not bad.
Well, speaking of Ratchet, we'll skip ahead a little bit here. Speaking of Ratchet, we have high-res versions of the stock photos that came out when Ratchet was actually first put up for pre-order. Which I'm surprised this is, I think, the first time we've seen these not, like, upscaled little crops of the stock photos.
Yeah,
I mean, it comes out next month. That's kind of cutting it close, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I have this mold in hand, and I still hate pictures of this toy.
It's like, being photographed.
It just
badly.
Does not photograph well at all.
No. Yeah.
I mean, it probably can photograph well, and they're just not doing it.
Now, the one thing that always catches my attention on this Ratchet is the crosses on the shoulder around the Autobot symbol. Is that, I can't remember, is that G1 toy accurate, or is it?
That
he did not have Autobot symbols there.
Okay, so what that is?
It's a compromise, so as to not.
It's a trademark issue, I believe.
Yes, with the Red Cross Society, who is extremely defensive of that insignia.
Right. So they had to throw the Autobot insignia over top of it.
That's right. Why on most like Ratchet or other medical themed Transformers toys anymore. They don't have a cross on them. They have the EKG tracing.
That's right. I forgot all about I remember that Red Cross thing from a while back.
I see this one photo where he's actually working on Ironhide.
Yeah.
And he has a little heart rate monitor appearing on his chest, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I didn't see that in any other photos.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just an insert to put behind the screen.
Yeah, but it actually looks like you can't tell, least in that photo, you can't tell it's an insert. So that's
Cool. Because of the color of his clear plastic and the color of the insert, it works a lot better than Ironhide's insert does.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, it's, you know, Ironhide's insert was meant to show as a scan.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, you know, it's going to look like something on a screen.
I'm just saying, these colors play better together.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just kind of wondering, like, I feel like they're going through with the Autobot cross symbol on the shoulder, assuming that it will be distinct enough to not run afoul of the trademark issue. But, like, what if this turns into another exhaust?
Let's not have that again, please.
Yeah. let's say we didn't and don't.
I think we probably would have heard something about that by now if that was going to be the case.
And the Red Cross is a nonprofit organization. I hope they wouldn't waste money on protecting a trademark when they can, you know, actually use it to help people.
Yeah.
Historically, yeah, they will.
Okay, so let's see what we skip over. Oh, yeah, let's talk about the Robots in Disguise app updates. Because this ties back to the Ratchet conversation we had last week. Because there's more Ratchet toys apparently coming, according to the Robots in Disguise app. So we already knew the Legion figure was coming. That's what we were talking about last week. But apparently there's also going to be One Step and Warrior Class. Both retools of same type strong arm figures.
Yay. More repaints.
Well, at least it's not the worst figure.
Yeah, that's true.
And is the Warrior going to be a repaint of Strong Arm too? Because the chest looks different.
Yeah, I think it's, well, I mean, the head's going to be different on that, so I think it's, you know, partial retool.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you retool the head and the chest, it wouldn't be hard to get a good-looking Ratchet out of that.
Yeah.
I still find it funny, though, like, the Legion has the door details painted on the chest specifically to match the Transformers Prime animation design, even though the Robots in Disguise one is apparently going to look completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Good synchronization there.
Who's Goldimus Prime? There's like a Gold or Prime or something.
Read the label, it's Pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. Pumpkin Prime. Oh, perfect. A new Prime is born.
There's also Switchblade Knight Bumblebee.
Switchblade. Okay. I don't know if they. Wow, I'm surprised they went with that one.
Yeah. You know, now I'm imagining Bumblebee and his team in an alley, snapping their fingers, like from West Side Story, and they're going to rumble with the Decepticons
with Pumpkin Prime,
Pumpkin Spice.
I guess,
Optimus Prime.
I don't know at this point. Anything is possible.
I'm not expecting.
I can just hear Megatron going, "Hey, Pumpkin, don't mess with me."
if Optimus Prime's alt mode is a giant pumpkin, Linus should be happy.
Is he the Nightmare Before Christmas? Is he the Pumpkin King?
I'm not really expecting Pumpkin Optimus Prime to be represented in a toy necessarily, but I included the image there just because it's hilarious.
Well, you know, they could recolor the Gaim DX watermelon armor and put Optimus Prime head on it.
Also important in here is apparently Warrior Class Bisque.
And in fact, Bisque at just about every size class.
We knew about some of those from Toy Fair, but yeah. There wasn't a Warrior Class announced. And I know people loved the interesting, different Decepticon designs in the show. So people who want the Warrior Class toys ought to be pretty happy with that. I also was kind of interested, there's a recolor of Scorponok in Beast Wars derived colors.
I was kind of hoping we might see a Robots in Disguise Chop Shop, because I do kind of like that version of him, but I think we're looking at beginning who we're getting at this point.
Isn't Chop Shop the one that splits into like five spiders or whatever?
But I mean, you know, if they've got like the four pack of Cyclones for like $15 in most stores, you know, they could probably do.
Well, it comes
the
down
chop
to the engineering,
around...
though. It comes down to the engineering more than anything. Like, Chop Shop would probably have to be a larger, simpler toy, probably with its own price point, to pull that off at all, and I don't think that's what a lot of people would be looking for. No, I agree. Chop Shop would be really interesting to see as a toy with the gimmick intact. But that seems probably like one of the more remote possibilities, unfortunately.
Yeah. Of course, I like it, so of course it's going to be.
Well, you can't win them all, Don.
Hey, when does the winning start?
RC.
Oh. Well, that's true.
Don, how can you forget your like one big victory that happened like 2 years ago?
After 20 years, so I'm one for 20 for, you know.
Well, so far there's still time for this. There's still time for your average to improve, Don.
I was gonna say now
I'm 45. I can't wait another 20 years for my averages to improve.
Now that they're doing Headmasters though, or Titan Masters, you just have to, you know, ask for a Titan Master RC.
Yeah, Don.
As a BlockCon exclusive.
I fully expect you to stand up at the Hasbro panel this year and do your thing.
You know, well, Don, maybe
we're
if
all
going to
be there.
Uh huh.
Fun Publications they could, you know, get that mold and read. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. No. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make a sign, and I'm gonna hold it that says, "You know what I want," and just sit back down. At this point, it'd be the most productive use of my time.
Maybe we could get that printed on a shirt for you.
You know what I want. It could work in multiple ways.
Hello, my name is Don. You know what I want.
and it says, hello, my name is Don. Perhaps you've heard of me. In small letters at the bottom and on the back, it says, you know what I want.
Hello, my name is Don. You know what I want. With a little arrow pointing down.
Hang on. Yeah, I know how to handle this.
Thank you.
So cycling back to something we were talking about last week, we have out of package pictures of Legends class Rekgar, and the colors look a lot better.
No, much better.
Bad.
What, diecast?
Bad. It still does not look good to me.
Okay, so here's the difference though. Like, the Amazon pictures have the contrast really screwed up, so the orange and yellow look very similar to each other. On this, at least, there is very distinct visual difference between those, so it does not look so sherbet.
It's pretty.
I'm not saying it's a good Rekgar, but it looks better in hand than the Amazon pictures.
I usually like orange toys too, and this is, like you said, I would consider it more sherbet than.
Yeah, this looks like a Technobot with a goatee.
Yeah.
How do these oranges and yellows compare to what you saw on Wheelie at Toy Fair, out of curiosity?
This orange is definitely a lot lighter.
Okay.
Interesting.
I was thinking they might have been using like the same batches of plastic for the pair of them, but maybe not.
Unless it's just the yellow throwing it off and it's making it look a little bit lighter.
And, I mean, we don't know what the lighting conditions are for the photos either. That could be adjusting the shade a little bit. But, like, the contrast is what it is, and I'm a lot happier with how that looks. Like, I could see myself getting Rekgar based on these pictures if I could find one for retail or less.
Oh, I'd like to get a couple just to be junkions on the shelf.
Yeah, that too. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not holding out much hope of being able to get multiples unless me and you go clear out the dealer room again like we did with Viper last year.
We'll be at BotCon.
Yep.
Well, what y'all could do is y'all can get that platinum set with Hot Rod and the Junkions.
Or I could not. It,
you know, split it so that way you're junky, and then you use those as your other Junkions.
No.
I have those Junkions already.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to give the platinum people the hope that someone may actually buy that set.
You think there's platinum people out there? Oh, the people who made the platinum set. Okay, I'm sorry.
Because I saw a price online that was on my Twitter feed of $109 for that set. And
if I'm going to pass up that Cyclonus and Sweep set, there's no way I'm buying that Hot Rod. And
the 109 Canadian, though, right?
I don't know the origin of the I'm guessing, but I don't know the origin. Here's the sad thing: imagine a protector armor from Fans Project made around that Hot Rod look. Oh God, it would be so terrible.
I think we're kind of beyond protector armor these days, though.
Yeah, I never really cared for it in the first place.
No, my problem with that was like you have to take it off to transform it, which is fine for Ultra Magnus. But, you know, Rodimus Prime is not a, you know, take apart and transform thing like that.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, Fans Project has made that new armor that you can upgrade Prime and Magnus to in like a Power Master style mode.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. They might do that with the Protector armor and just and have a new version of that.
I would love to see.
People need to.
I'd love to see how they engineer armor for that Hot Rod mold that can stay attached through transformation. I still don't want to buy it, though.
People just need to walk away from that Hot Rod mold and
I agree.
Let it die.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's time for
we need
something
a new,
new
one. We need a new one, Hasbro. Come on.
Probably with the Headmaster. I'm sorry, Titan Master.
Or they might actually build armor for the Masterpiece, maybe?
No?
Doubt it.
That seems even farther afield than doing it for the Classics toy.
Besides, that thing's already got a gigantic backpack. I don't think you need to strap any more armor on.
And again, Rodimus Prime is not a suit of armor.
No.
That's why you need to go by carry.
I'm not opposed to this if it would actually fit into a collection properly. As it is, the vehicle's too small for Masterpiece and too big for Classics. It has no
Cloud Rodimus. I'm okay.
Cloud Rodimus works for me. Throwing back to something we referenced briefly at the start of the show, we have a revision case assortment for Combiner Wars Deluxe Wave 2 2016. And that sure is a choice they made.
Yeah, I'm really confused on this one.
So
Rudicus's arms are short-packed.
Uh-huh. And you can only get half of the Skyrain limbs now.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have any trouble finding...
Including the worst one.
No. I don't think you're going to have any
poor
trouble finding...
Poor Wheeljack.
I don't think you have any trouble finding the Skyrain limbs anytime soon, since they're practically everywhere sitting there.
All right, so what did they cut out of this? Because it looks like they're missing one Bruticus figure.
No, so this has...
You get two Swindles and two Brawls, but you get one Blast Off and one Vortex.
Okay, because the first photo in the thing shows two Vortexes.
Yeah, two Vortexes.
Does it?
It should be two Swindles, two Brawls, a Vortex, a Blast Off,
a
smoke screen, and a Wheeljack.
Yeah, the other two photos match, but the first one shows two Vortexes instead of one Blast Off.
And the first one is what I was looking at, and I was all confused. I'm like, what? Why would they do this? I can understand why they did this, because Swindle's the better figure out of all of them, I would say.
Brawl is the new mold.
Brawl is the new mold, and I mean, Blastoff is, who cares? He's a jet.
Now, see, I personally would have put
Brown Slingshot. Yes,
I would have personally put in Trailbreaker and not Wheeljack.
Yeah,
because at least Trailbreaker doesn't look woefully incomplete deco wise as a robot, and
they're not going to put Swindle and Hound together.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Because one thing they have not done the whole time is have two instances of a mold in the same wave.
There's going to be a lot of Wheeljacks on the shelf, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Although, if you want a blank slate toy to paint, I mean, couldn't ask for better.
That's true.
I personally do not feel the need to get Combiner Wars Trailbreaker, but I can see a validity to it because it is a lot more like that's your G1 cartoon like Trailbreaker versus the IDW one that was in the Generations line in 2013.
Yeah, and Trailbreaker does not look bad at all.
Yeah, both of them have legitimate merit depending what you want for your collection. That Wheeljack is a disaster.
Oh, absolutely.
Poor Wheeljack.
Yep.
That is probably the worst Wheeljack I can think of to date.
Have you ever handled the Alternator's Wheeljack?
Yes.
Well, that's saying something then.
Yeah, really.
Although I don't know if I opened it. What kind of car was he?
He was the alternate use of Grimlock.
Yes, I played with Grimlock. With the Alternator's Grimlock, and it was the same mold, and I just never opened Wheeljack.
I'm not surprised.
I had Grimlock briefly, and I got in the middle of transforming it once and put it in the drawer for like a year and a half. Oh, I hate Alternators.
The only Alternator I ever bought was Skids, because at the time in 2005 when that came out, I very rightly thought, well, this is probably the only modern Skids toy we're ever going to get.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And to be fair, it took another, 5-6 years until the next one came along.
Mm-hmm.
And,
longer than that.
I think I've transformed Alternator Skids about 4 times total. That's including, going back to the mode it started in since I've owned
it. That's 4 more times than I've ever transformed it because I never took mine out of the box.
Probably just as well off, but...
Yeah.
I just took pity on Skids. And bought him because he actually got a new toy.
I bought it because I think the Scion XB is neat.
Okay. I mean, it's not the worst looking car. Hey Mickey has one. It's kind of pretty cool, actually.
I have one. Nice.
Do what, Diecast?
I have one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's your second car.
Yeah, it's my second car.
I forgot about that.
That's my box. It paid for itself already with all the boxes I've moved with the box. So. Nice.
I really wish we had intro quotes this week because Diecast is just full of them.
You're the one editing the show.
Only if I decide to.
Yep.
More likely, I will just throw it up on the server and leave it to be Kilby's problem.
Well, if lockdown didn't get to him yet.
Well, I guess we'll find out come, you know, Thursday, Friday if the show doesn't go up.
Well, we'll know, too, because if he didn't get to him yet, Brian will definitely watch the show because you have to talk about him a couple times in order to get him to watch it.
Yeah, he's like Candlejack.
Yeah.
So finally, in official news, we have updated product photos for Victorion, which show the current deco for it as originally seen at Toy Fair. Of course, this is more, you know, neutral lighting and such.
No, no, this is the way it looked at yeah, Toy Fair. Exactly. It's blah. It's I wanted to buy this set too, just because it was different. It was, you know, the fan built combiner, and now I'm just like, I can't spend $100 on that.
I did find though that much like those Rekgar pictures, the contrast on these has been tweaked a little bit badly. Like one of the pictures, I think the shot with all the robot modes, like some of the tires appear as total black masses. If you adjust the contrast a little bit, you can actually start to see detail again. And I think they just way over adjusted the photos, and it's making it look worse than it actually is.
No, it's pretty bad in person.
I'm gonna say, like, I love Combiner Wars. I have everything. I got the Sky Rain Wave and everything, but this color scheme, like, this feels like more of an obligation than something I'm looking forward to.
Okay, and here's a little nitpick too. The hands, they did new hands for it, but they still just drilled a 5mm port in it so it could hold the sword, which looks really out of place. It looks like it's in the thumb of the combiner. And then the other thing is, or the only thing I would want is that sword. That sword looks great. If we could just kind of buy that separately, I'd be happy.
So I'll make a counterpoint on the hands. I would rather have a 5mm port put into the hands in a slightly awkward position rather than rely on the tension of the hinge at the fingers to actually hold anything. See also Ultra Magnus.
The hands are way too small, though. I mean, they're actually little tiny hands compared to the Combiner Wars hands. The feet are fine. They seem like they're proportionate size, but the hands are horrible.
I imagine the hands will look better on the helicopter arms.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Which is probably more what they had in mind.
I am still incensed that there are two helicopters in this thing.
The arms in general also look better when they're actually transformed properly and they're not just like, you know, cars with the hoods full.
Well, they'll still be just as wide, so that's not going to help.
Awesome, you could probably transforming skills angle for these poses.
A little bit better if they were not, you know, just cars like that, but
I guess
a little bit. I'm saying.
At least with the breakdown based arm, the pelvis hinge to bring the legs closer together for car mode, you could actually turn that combiner arm and use that as part of the elbow, so you could present a thinner face forward.
To me, the only one that looks good in in vehicle mode is the Voyager figure. Not Hotspot, because
Pyromagna,
because she is almost all red, so that horrible color doesn't mess up the vehicle mode at all.
I still want these.
I do too.
I mean, definitely. You know, I'm not.
I'm telling you, it feels like I feel obligated to buy it just because it's the fan figure and it's Combiner Wars.
Oh, I don't care. That's the fan figure.
I wish I could be more excited about this. But
I don't care that's the fan figure. It's the Voyager mold that I really like. It is a unified color scheme, which is not my ideal version of these colors that are present on it. But it does have, you know, a unified, distinct identity. It has new accessories, and I appreciate that they remolded body parts on all the other figures to make them look more distinct from all the other reuses of those molds.
The unified color scheme is one of the things that I hate the most. I prefer my combiners to be mishmashes of colors because they're giant Frankenstein monsters, most of them. So.
And that's completely fair. Go ahead, Rob.
What I would have preferred is if we'd gone with the unified color scheme that like had like not all the colors on all the robots, like make
that would have been fine. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Like make you know Pyromagna entirely or mostly red. Make the legs, the helicopters, all mostly green, and like that. That I think might have worked a little bit better than to have the, you know, both of the main colors on all the parts, which is when it starts to look kind of off.
And I think the major problem deco-wise too is there's not a neutral tone breaking up those two colors.
It looked a lot better at San Diego Comic-Con. That green color did not come out right.
Well, it'd be interesting at BotCon this year to ask Hasbro if they can tell us what maybe like other alternate colors, if they can show it or if they have it available. Let's see what other color schemes they had chosen. They was on the board to pick for that figure.
We voted for them.
Yeah.
I was about to say, did we vote for these colors? Because that may be kind of the deal.
Well, I mean, for these colors, but
I think I voted for the orange and blue.
I voted for the orange one. Yeah. Orange and blue, I think. Yeah.
You know, but you know, I'm saying like we can see other patterns or what the other colors would look like. Just something to see what
other
could have
deco
been.
Layouts within these colors. Yeah. You mean?
Yeah.
So that guy could do anything.
No, I mean, it's a good
point.
All right,
I can't look at this picture anymore. I've got to close this window.
It's a good point, though. If all the colors appeared in the set, but not all the colors on all the figures all the time, and if there was, like, some silver or, you know, like, just a neutral gray used as a spacer to make up for not having both those colors on every toy. Yeah, I mean, you could have come up with something a little bit more balanced looking.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just made, you know, to, you know, add a little bit of that to the arms, you could have just made the thighs on all the figures silver, and that would have provided a little bit of that.
Yeah, totally. And I agree, most of the time I want combiners to look like the mishmash they are, because that's kind of what a combiner is. These were presented a little bit differently, and so it works well enough in my head that, okay, so it's a solid color scheme.
And it's kind of hard to argue about that, too, because I realize, like, Devastator and Computron have, you know, consistent color schemes throughout all the characters.
Yeah. For the most part, though.
Yeah, for the most part, they're all over the place.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong, too, like, my favorite combiner color schemes are the G2 ones, and you can't get more disparate than those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Menasor, yes.
This month. All right, so it's not on Amazon yet, but when Menasor does become available on Amazon, you can go to tfradio.net/Amazon and pick one of those up, and some of the money will come back to us. Also, we're just doing reruns from last week. Transformers Legacy is a fantastic book. You can get that. I think we have, tfradio.net/legacy for the compilation of all the Transformers G1 and a lot of G2 box art. Great book, and we showed it off in some detail last week, too, so might go back and take a look at that. And Road Rage is, I guess, still $49 on Amazon. Ironhide, Masterpiece Ironhide, is $93, which is probably a good price. I saw Ratchet was going
to
be
that's
like...
That's pretty close to what you'll find at online retailers.
So. I think I saw Ratchet was going to be $10,000. If Ironhide's in the same price range, that $93 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, tfradio.net/Amazon, as always, do some of your shopping through there. It sends some money back to us, and you don't pay any more. Take out of Amazon's pocket, and I'm pretty okay with that. So, you know, thanks to all of you who shop, and thanks to all of you who keep shopping and help Kilby pay off the tax bill this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's run through the third-party news. We only have a couple items. First up is KFC Hemafright. Hemafright? The hell?
Hemorage.
That's what they should have called it. That would have
been
awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is based on one of the dinosaur cassettes.
Slugfest.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. When I saw the title, I thought they were doing their take of the Dino Combiners from Japan.
Well, that would have been more interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have actually been interesting. So.
Yeah, because I've always wanted those, but not willing to pay those god-awful prices those things bring, if you could even find a set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has KFC's quality on their cassette toys gotten any better?
Not that I've heard.
I don't know anyone who's willing to buy one to find
out. I did watch a review on their blaster, their masterpiece twin cast from their blaster.
Right.
And the people that did the video seemed to really like the Rosanna homage cassette and the Scorpion cassette that comes with the twin cast. As far as the quality, the ones I've watched didn't have anything really bad to say about the cassettes.
Well, hopefully that's representative of the production run then. Maybe KFC's got that whole material quality thing worked out a little better these days.
Yeah. Or maybe with the price point that those blasters were selling at, they could use the better plastics. Along with, instead of trying to make a figure at $20, they had to use like a not as good of a plastic versus what they can do at the $150 price point.
Maybe. So our other third party item is a gray prototype of Planet X's Starscream like Fall of Cybertron figure. As someone who likes this design, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, the jet looks kind of odd.
Yeah, it might be a bad angle.
Too much like a jet.
Yeah, like it's elongated.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. And the wings pull out, and then it makes the wings look odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of.
It looks pretty wonky.
Yeah, reminds me of Jetstorm from Beast Machines and that mold.
I can kind of see where you're coming from with that.
Good.
Yeah.
The robot mode looks good, but at that point, like if I don't like the way the jet mode looks, I have a perfectly good.
Yeah.
Starscream in this style that I am satisfied with both of its modes that I paid probably $13 or $14 for, but still a far cry from the probably $100 this is going to cost.
Yeah
they might have been better to stick with stuff that didn't get toys made already.
Yeah,
like the Dinobots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's still plenty of stuff they could mine from that, too. That, or, if they want to retread ground, let them start working on their version of Bruticus.
Yeah.
Because, nobody would complain about getting upgraded toys of the Fall of Cybertron Combaticons.
No.
Oh, I was going to say, or a...
Wreckers repaint.
A decent Jetfire / Skyfire, because we never got a good one yet.
Hmm.
I like to see new third-party Omnibots myself, and Jumpstarters. Some in the lower price points, but that
Dawn,
needs
did you
new
forget?
Figures.
Did you forget the Demolition Crew figures?
Oh, yeah. I forgot because they're right here. I'm sorry. Well,
you're
I was looking at one of the pictures in our next batch of things with Thunderhoof. Thunderhoof.
Well, in a minute, Don. I mean, there's things Planet X could have gone with that weren't this, that would have been a better idea than this, and I'm just not... Like I said, as someone who really likes this Starscream design, it's not there for me. I'm kind of disappointed by that, too. I kind of had hopes for this.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe that's the problem. So, this week on the network, we have Superhero Time episode 265, and I'm so pleased I get to announce this episode title on air, Elephant Hand Job.
Oh, edit point.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm not even going to tell Kilby about that. If he wants to listen through the whole thing and find edit points, that's his business, otherwise that's staying. And we also have Being Awesome with Rob Springer. This week in Awesome, man went in blind bag Blind Bag Titan Masters be fun? Rob, I think you were talking about that earlier.
Yes, they would.
He also talks about Overload Part 2, and Q&A can deal with Ultra Magnus now. Not exactly sure how to parse that sentence, but I'm sure it makes sense if you watch the episode.
Yeah.
I get it.
So, Rob Quay, tell us what's on T-Formers this week.
Okay, well, also on T-Formers, like XV told you at the top of the show, you can go to the site and vote for our choices for the Transformers Hall of Fame. We've set up some polls for the three categories. Also, Hisashi Yuki has posted a picture of the Transformers Adventure version of Thunderhoof to Twitter, and as always with most almost all the adventure stuff, it looks really, really nice. More paint, more color, really nice.
That's gonna be my BotCon shopping list, I think.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And
you know,
and especially, I mean, look at what the paint does to the head. It looks so much less chunky.
Yeah,
that is really nice. But lastly, we've got an alternate version of the cover to Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 11. In the original version, Duke was smoking a cigar, and Tom Scioli suggested on Twitter that he changed it to make Duke look more mysterious because he is now holding a snake. But my guess would be that somebody at Hasbro said no.
Could be, although if somebody at Hasbro is actually paying attention to this, I'm surprised they didn't say no a long time ago.
Well, he's said he has had a couple of points that they've
right.
asked him
that.
To. Yeah, so, you know, they seem to have given him a pretty, you know, a pretty free reign, but there are a couple of things that they have asked him about before, and I would not be surprised if, you know, smoking was one of the things they would like to avoid.
Yeah. Makes sense. Now, is that a maxi series or an ongoing, or
it's an ongoing? They have no idea how long it's going to go. Basically, as long as people keep buying it, so
or when the individual issues will come out.
I mean, they seem to have kind of settled into something basically quarterly. It feels like
kind of I think we might get the next one a little faster because he seems to be like working on it as we speak, which is not always the case when a new one comes out. So.
Well, I guess it depends how much of the paper he has milled already.
Mm-hmm. G.I. Joe Action Quarterly.
I mean, if it lets him keep a consistent schedule, sure, make the book like officially be a quarterly.
Yeah. You know,
take the expectation out of it coming any sooner. It doesn't seem like a bad thing to me.
Yeah, me either.
And it probably would keep the shops happier than, you know, always having the issues not come out when they're solicited.
Yeah. Also, it's probably worth mentioning at this point, since we're talking about IDW and schedules, that More Than Meets the Eye number 50 is finally supposed to come out next week.
Right.
Hooray!
Yeah, that's one reaction. Don, did you have a comment you wanted to add to Thunderhoof?
No, I was just going to say basically, I like the blue on the Hasbro version. I like that deeper blue, but at the same time, there's hardly any color on it at all, other than just blue plastic with maybe a little bit of red. I'm just wondering what it would look like if they put the Takara highlights on that darker blue.
Hmm.
They might stand out more. It just to me the darker blue looks a little more show accurate, but that's just me.
Okay.
And then I'm glad we didn't talk about the Hasbro hiring, or, you know.
Well, that's not really a relevant
job
news
posting
item, right?
Too much, because I'm going to show my part of my application. I did apply, and this is one of the Transformers I designed. And for those of you that aren't on video, it's or can't see it on video, it's not very good. But you know, maybe if I'm the only one apply, maybe I'll get the job.
Sure, Diecast.
Well, I have told y'all the story of what happened with me, so I don't when I sent an idea to Hasbro, so I did tell y'all that, right?
Yeah. I don't recall, Don.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe at least I'll get an interview and I can sneak in and take some stuff.
No, Diecast, like they'll just interview you over Skype.
Yeah, that's true.
Saying that in public kind of blows any sense of like plausible deniability.
I mean,
good
like
luck getting that job
gifts,
now.
That's what I meant. Parting gifts.
It's not a game show.
Now,
I don't know. I think he should get the job because then he'll have to move like right to Rhode Island and have to sell the house he just got.
That's true.
I need a job to pay for RFC since we're going to be taking it over because Brian left a debt behind.
Okay, I'm not the one who sent a bounty hunter after him. Like, this is totally on you. Also, Matt, I think Diecast talking about stealing stuff from Hasbro just improves his chances from what they already were, which was zero. Because at least now Hasbro's paying attention.
I would never steal. I mean, parting gifts. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, sure. So, we don't have any questions or feedback this week, but we want to hear from you. So, send us an email at contact@tfradio.net or leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. So, as always, follow us on Twitter. We're at TF Radio. Especially during, like, convention seasons, toy shows, that kind of thing, we're usually pretty good with tweeting out pictures and news and updates. And we're just generally awesome the rest of the time, too.
And yeah, with BotCon being literally almost a month away to almost a month away.
Don't remind me that.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're all, as of right now, we're all going to be there, except for Massey, who
will be boarded.
That would not be. Yeah, he'll be boarded. He doesn't know that yet. Shh, don't tell him.
I think you just told him, Don.
Nah, he's leaving a box. He didn't hear me. But
that's what he wants you to think, Don.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely follow us during BotCon because there'll be, you know, heck, I may even, well, I won't say what I did at TFCon, but since that won't be at BotCon, but, you know, anything's possible.
Are you talking about YouTube, the karaoke? Don.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's glorious.
No, what we need to do at BotCon, find a bowling alley again and video Don when the Phil Collins starts.
Yep.
Because, okay, because magic like that before and after.
Yeah.
Magic like that has to be shared.
I'm a little competitive with myself at times.
Well, I mean, that happens, Don. It's okay. So also, don't forget Jolanta next weekend, March 12th and 13th. Rob Springer, Dusty Griffin, and Brian Kilby will be doing the Transformers panel on Saturday, so be sure to check that out if you're going to be in the area.
Yeah, send your want list to Brian Kilby, Kira.
And Hall of Fame voting will go through, at least our Hall of Fame voting will go through March 7th at 11:59 Eastern Time. So be sure to send us your votes for that at contact@tfradio.net. And I think that'll do it for the show this week, guys. Anything else before we go?
Nothing I can think of.
Anything to make Kilby cry or, you know, curse our names?
It's more fun to make him cry in person. So
that's true. It's more fun to make him spend money from a distance.
Yeah, we'll save it up for BotCon.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye, buddy.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers, it's better than crack.